Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationship Talks. I am your host, Laurie Brooke, and together we will get to take a look at what goes on behind closed doors. Today, I am joined by Kikua Kabashigawa.
Hi, my name is Kikua, the HBIC, and I'm here to talk about your relationship to yourself.
Kikua is the best-selling author of Do Big Shit, a speaker and a mum. Kikua found herself at what she calls the WTF point of life, feeling lost and insignificant after experiencing betrayal and abuse. As she healed, she learned to break down her own insecurities and generational patterns and build a new, strong relationship with herself. In doing so, she became a powerful leader, not only for others, but for herself, and founded HBIC Development for Women to nurture their inner leader and develop a deeply respectful relationship. Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Relationship Talks. I'm here with Kikua, and as you would have heard from the introduction, she is a leadership and development coach for women. Now, Kikua, I want to ask you, what is your story that really brings you here in front of me today to be talking about relationships?
Well, like a lot of people, there's lots of little tiny details here and there that would have changed the course of whether I was here or not. But the bottom line is that I was healing out of an emotionally abusive relationship. I did not understand that it was abuse while I was in it. But as I was coming out of it, of course, I knew I didn't want to repeat it. I understood that abuse happens in cycles. So I did the work that would stop me from repeating it. It enabled me to see why I was so prone to it, how I became vulnerable. And in learning those things, I also learned that it's incredibly prevalent when you're abused. You think that you're the only one, but you think it's a rare thing. It's shameful. You carry all this weight. I found out it's actually not. It's incredibly prevalent, and almost every woman will experience abuse. And that was a heartbreaking moment for me because it's just terrible. That's the status quo. We're going to be abused at some point. As I was sitting in this and being so frustrated with why are there not more resources that not just fix the pain that caused the relationship caused, but fix the reason why you ended up in that relationship. It wasn't fair to me. Like, I figured it out. I've done this thing and I'm going to be able to stop the cycle. How come so many women can't? And that was the light bulb that was flipped on in my mind, is if it doesn't exist and you know what it is, you have a responsibility to turn that light on. You need to be the resource that you think doesn't exist right now.
Wow. That is, go you for taking that and owning that responsibility and wanting to help and make that impact. So what for you is it that can really change for women in relationships to make sure that they're not abused?
The number one relationship, which is our relationship to ourselves, because we don't recognize that everything we do, every accomplishment that we have, every achievement that we chase, every relationship that we do have, all of them are built on the foundation of our own relationship to self. And because we don't really grow up learning that, we have this really unstable foundation and we put all these things on top of it. And some of those relationships will be great and some of them will be not so much. Some of the things that we pursue will be great and some of them will be not so much. But everything that we are trying to build, we're building it on a very unstable foundation until we get to the point, if we do get to the point, that we are able to understand that the base of everything we want in life has to start with ourselves, how we see ourselves. Do we love ourselves? Do we respect ourselves? Do we take care of ourselves? And most of us don't do that in a substantial way. We learn a little bit of a superficial way to do it. And not that those aren't valid, but if they're not built on top of that really solid foundation of substantial care, love, and respect for self, they will not do the job by themselves.
It's like trying to build a house on sand without that solid foundation that at some point it's going to come crumbling down.
Yeah.
So tell me, what did you do at the start for you when you realized that this is what you needed to do? You really needed to build up that relationship with yourself first. What did you do first to help that process?
I was very fortunate that in the duration of this relationship, I had begun personal development. I was a business owner. I was trying to start this business, and I did. And it started to see a little bit of moderate success because I had found what I thought was business development, because I had no concept of this before. And it turns out to be, of course, personal development, because again, if you want to build that big stuff, you've got to be solid underneath. So it turned out to be much more revolutionary to just me as an entire woman than it was specific to any type of business. So when I was coming out of the abusive relationship, I had realized I have this really valuable tool in that I had stumbled across personal development. And so my introspection was, what do I have that other women don't have? Why am I able to break this cycle as I was coming out of it? And I realized the two things were, one, the personal development, that personal education of learning how to build myself up. And the other part of it was a really strong foundation of other women around me. And it doesn't necessarily have to be women, but I think there is a difference between platonic relationships with men and platonic relationships with women. And because men and women are different, and you cannot just swap one out for the other. So that beautiful support that I had around me that was entirely different for me. They're all in different career paths. They were not business owners. None of that was similar. It wasn't like these women were identical to me, but they were supportive and loving. And I had the personal education that taught me that the ways that I was being treated were actually not just sad, not just mean, but actually abusive and manipulative and controlling intentionally. And because I had the support of those beautiful women around me, I was able to start dismantling those things and get to a place where then I realized I did these things because I had never learned how to respect myself. I did these things because I had never learned what loving myself really was. And so because I didn't have the love or the respect, I didn't take care of myself. And I would look for these little like kernels in other women that I could take and grow within myself. Things that they did that I admired or that I wanted to replicate because they were happy or because they were successful or because their children were healthy or, you know, what aspect was wonderful that I wanted to emulate. And I would take these little kernels and plant them in my own personal garden. And little by little, I would grow those things. And in growing it for myself, it was the really sad realization that most women never get that opportunity.
Did you struggle to find that community of women?
In the moment, no. But for the majority of my life, I was not a girl's girl. I have always been quote unquote manly, masculine, rough, tomboy, all those words that we negatively put on girls who don't focus on like makeup or boys or something like that. I had also, like most women, I had come up under the conditioning that women are not to be trusted. Women are catty. Women will betray you. They'll backstab. All of those stereotypes. Unconsciously, I had some of that within me. And what we don't typically realize is that if you believe that about other women through no fault of your own, you know, it's not necessarily your experience that tells you that, it's conditioning that we get. Yeah. But if you believe that about other women, the truth of the matter is, on an unconscious level, you believe it about yourself as well. So not only do you look negatively on other women, you also look negatively on yourself. And that erodes your ability to show up in any kind of valuable friendship with another woman because you don't trust her and you don't trust yourself.
It is really amazing, isn't it, that this is the messaging that we're giving our daughters and the young girls of society, that they're going to grow up and they're going to continue believing this, which is why I think it's really important that we're having these conversations about relationships mm-hmm. and about how we can love ourselves better. Because it impacts so many other relationships and how we show up in those relationships.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I want to point out that picture behind you, and I know I mentioned it at the start. I absolutely love it. For me, that the picture and I suppose, that strength and confidence and empowerment that just depicts is perfect for the message that you're sending. How long did it take you to get to that point?
First of all, thank you. I appreciate that recognition. That particular picture I took, I think, in the winter of 2020. So my background prior to this, and which is how I found personal development, is that I was in the fitness industry. And at that point, that's 10, 11 years in, and about 7 years of heavy lifting. So if anyone is able to see this, if this is on YouTube or anything, that doesn't come from the group exercise room. I teach group exercise classes. They're fun. They will do a ton of things for you. They will not put that amount of muscle on your body, though. It is getting out on the floor. And it's also eating substantially. Lifting will not do that on its own. I have to eat and lift in the right ways to make my muscle that big. Women tend to be so afraid of that. You will not trip and fall and become a massive woman. It doesn't happen that way. It takes years and years.
Like, putting that aside, though, for me, it's the story that the picture tells. And the way that, I think, to the left of that picture on my screen, at least, you've got the words respect, confidence, empowerment. And those words really go with that picture. And I think it's really important for us to get to the point where we can respect ourselves and love ourselves enough to go, yes, this is me.
Yeah, it's definitely, a lot of the times when women comment on that picture, first, yes, they're like, oh, wow, the muscles, yay, it's so great. But what they're more impacted by is that I celebrate those muscles, because it's not, quote unquote, feminine, right? To be strong. It's not pretty. It's not girly. It's not womanly. And yet, that's my shit right there. That's, I am womanly. I am feminine in all of the ways that I want to be. So when women communicate with me how they feel about it, it's very often, it's not envy of the body. It's envy of the fact that I love that body. It's envy of the fact that I stand inside of a body that is not in the gender norms, the societally based beauty standards. It's the combination of I can be feminine while being muscular. And I also should say, when I'm not flexing, they don't look that big.
Own that. So tell me, in terms of the work that you do with women, what does that entail? How do you get them from the broken down, I don't want to say pieces, but that broken down self where they've got very little self-love. They don't know how to put themselves back together to become that picture of strength to that end result.
I like to focus not on the pieces themselves, but because we think about it as we all fix these little pieces. I'll fix this part that got hurt. I'll put the Band-Aid here and there and it'll be okay. And that's not true. That's the way things have been done for so long, but that's why it's still being done. So it's a very foundational program. I spent time, as I was writing my book, I really went backwards in my own journey and figured out what exactly I did in my meandering, not knowing what I was doing kind of way. I had to then retrace those steps to figure out what was it really that substantially changed the way I saw myself. What was it that took me to the place where I can now guide women? And I put all of that together. And so I created a system called the HBIC method, and it is very foundational. It's really going to the base of, let's figure out who you are, because most of us don't. We get to this, I call it the WTF point in life, where you realize I've repeated this cycle, or you realize that you're just not happy, or for whatever cause, you wake up to where you're at and you are not in love with it, which we want to be happy in our lives. And if we're not, let's fix it. It's very foundational. What exactly makes you who you are? Not as a mom, not as a wife, not as a friend, but just you. Which most of us don't know. And so this foundation involves things like, what are your values? What's really important to you? What do you want to show up as? Who do you want to show up as? What do you want to be remembered about you? And then what do you love? What are your passions? What were your passions? More often than not, we go backwards into childhood because women have lost the freedom and the time to actually have their own passions and they don't know what they are in adulthood. So we go back a little bit, like what did you love then when you had time? What would bring you joy if you had the time to do it daily or weekly now? And what do you want your life to be? What are your dreams? Because these are all things that we don't think about on a daily basis because we are conditioned not to think about ourselves. We think about everyone else. We anticipate for everyone else. And that's wonderful. And it's beautiful when it's given choicefully. But when it's more of a unrecognized obligation, we can't really call it love. And if it's given at our own detriment, then it's taking love away from us. So it's time to recognize what matters to you, who you are, who you want to be, where do you want to go, and pursue some of that. Learn how to fill up your own cup so that instead of pouring yourself out all the time, you have an abundance, you have an overflow. And that's the most valuable thing that you can give to somebody. It's not your emptiness, but your abundance that enriches somebody else's life.
I love what you just said then in terms of being able to recognize what fills us up, because it is really hard and it can be really hard for some women to actually say, hey, I want to do this or I enjoy doing that, or even just to answer that question. You ask somebody what they do as a hobby or for pleasure and they just look at you and go, well, I don't do any of that. I'm running around after everyone else. And it's sad, but it's also, you can understand why they get to that point.
Oh yeah. We say mom of the year. I was martyr of the year. I absolutely was, because that was my badge of honor, was that I practically ran myself into the ground to be a good mom, to be a good wife, to be a good for everybody else except for me. And we're conditioned to believe that's what love is. No. Love is not running yourself, because you would not expect your spouse or your child or anyone else who loves you to destroy themselves. And that's how they show love. But yet that's what we carry. That's what we put on ourselves. If you really love them, you will practically destroy yourself in pursuit of serving them.
Yeah. Tell me about your book. What made you write the book?
In tandem to having the realizations that I talked about earlier, there was, I'm still in personal development. I still take leadership and business and learning for myself. I was at an event, one such event. We were learning from different entrepreneurs. People had become successful, of course. And one of them was a publisher. And we were talking about our stories and how your story, in the way that you tell it, is probably very similar to a lot of other people. There's no really experience that is completely singular. But your story, in the way that you tell it, doesn't resonate to all people, but it really speaks loud as hell to the right people. There are people that really need to hear you, because your voice is the one that's going to stand out to them. And they are having your experience and they don't really know what to do. And listening to you and hearing you and learning from you is going to help them come out of the negativity earlier. It's going to help them find their healing a little bit earlier. And it's going to enable them to develop their own voice so that they can go and speak to the next wave of whoever it is that needs them. And I was coming to that point where I thought, okay, as I had mentioned earlier, okay, I should be some kind of a resource. I had no idea what that was supposed to look like. I had no idea how to do it. I was absolutely a fledgling in this industry, in mentorship and coaching. I knew nothing about it. And as I was talking to this publisher, I realized that's a way that I can create a resource, because I know that I can't work with every woman who can hear me, who really resonates with me. I can't work with every single one of them. Every single one of them can't reach me. Every single one of them maybe can't afford it. Every single one of them maybe isn't ready, but I can create a resource that is like, that's the lowest barrier of entry The book is under $10. You know what I mean? Anybody can get access to it. And so if I can't reach you by hand, if I can't reach you by voice, there is still a way that I can know that I have done what I need to do by putting out something that you have access to. And because that book is everything that I did to change my life, then I know I've given you the opportunity to change yours.
How many times have you felt that pull between wanting to help everyone and knowing that it is something that people need to take that first step? They need to be willing to make that change for themselves.
It still can be hard in this, just, you know, when you're parenting your kids and you want them to make this choice because you have the experience and the overview of their life to see that this choice, this is the right choice to make. But no matter what you do, they're going to make that choice. It's the same kind of thing. If you never give them the freedom, if you never back off enough for them to make that choice, this choice will never be an option. And everyone is like that. You can only support people where they're willing to receive support, where they're ready to receive support. I could say a sentence to you today that would mean absolutely nothing. But in a year from now, you're going to be a different person because you're going to have a year's worth of experiences. And I can repeat the exact same sentence to you verbatim. It's going to mean something different. So a part of it is understanding that if they are not yet in the place, if they have not yet had the experiences that make that sentence make sense, there is nothing I can do that's going to change that. There's background and understanding that they have to experience before they can make those changes. So if I am not willing to be hands off and be a lighthouse instead of a tugboat, I love that analogy. If I'm not willing to be the lighthouse instead of the tugboat, I really can't help anybody. Because while I'm out there trying to drag one person out of the mud who is holding on to the mud with their other hand, that's countless other people that could have been helped, but they won't be because I was focused on the wrong one. I have to be willing to put the light out and just say, this is what the shore looks like. I'm giving you the knowledge, but the boat is yours to pilot and you have to be the one to take the helm.
That's a beautiful analogy.
I can't pretend like I came up with it on my, I don't know who first came up with lighthouse and tugboat, but it's such a great example of the way that you can create influence in the world is you really have to just be that light because you cannot drag people off the rocks. If they're aiming at the rocks, they're gonna hit the rocks. And some people have to hit the rocks before they understand I should back up.
Tell me, what does life look like for you now?
Life looks like the joy of mentoring women who have hit the point where they realize that they are repeating the same cycle or that they are vulnerable in ways that they don't yet understand because most of us don't. We receive the conditioning that makes us think that we're doing one thing when we're not. So that, of course, I still do work in a gym teaching a few classes because it's fun, because I am a meathead. And I lift, of course. And it's really fulfilling to be able to do that, hit my passion, which is still, of course, heavy weights, and do things that fulfill me at the same time, which is helping other women come to the place where they know their own passion. And of course, I hope every woman experiences the joy of heavy weights, but not every woman will. And that's okay.
Love it. I think I'd crush myself if I tried to lift heavy weights.
It's definitely a progression. Like it's a little by little. Of course, 10 years ago, I couldn't do the things that I do now.
But you stick at it. So tell me in terms of your relationships, how are they going?
I'm going to touch on my relationships with women because I think that's probably the most important and the biggest change. Of course, the dynamic in how I look at men and how I am able to read and understand what their behavior means if I'm going to get into a relationship with them, of course, that has progressed and changed. But I think the most impactful relationships external to my relationship to self have been actually knowing how to have relationships with women, because I, like I said, I didn't before. And see, the thing about that is we're so afraid to be vulnerable. We're so afraid to look for those things. And that's because we're looking in the wrong place. The truth of the matter is that the first place that you have to find that beautiful, independent, capable, functional, available woman is inside of yourself. When you find her, other women will find her too. So I have, of course, the relationships that I had at the beginning of my own little self-improvement journey, but I have so many more women who are in my life who, because I found my support, because I found my love, because I found my respect, I was then able to give love and respect to other women in ways that I didn't know I wasn't doing it. And because I was able to show up in those authentic, just generous ways, women felt me differently. And when you feel safe and secure with a person, that's when you are available to have an emotional exchange, an energy exchange, right? That's when you're actually available to connect with women. So I did not know, however many years ago, that I was blocking the potential of having those deep relationships with the mere thought that I couldn't have those relationships. And when I figured out how to let that go, it's like a whole freaking garden just bloomed in front of me, because women are not any of that nonsense, to keep it clean. Not any of that nonsense that is a part of the stereotype. Are there people like that? Yes. People in general, of course, there are people like that. And you do have to be careful. You do have to be self-aware and open and honest with the things that you see and feel in other people. But the truth is, the vast majority of people, they're not like that. They're not. When they see safety and security in you, you are going to see a side of them that you will realize what a blessing it is. But you can't until you have shown up in the way that makes them realize that they are allowed to show, that they are safe to show that. And while it is a little difficult to be the one, if you're not willing to step into that, you're never going to experience it. You have to be the one to show up and let other people know that you're safe.
It's that mirror analogy, isn't it? What you see back from other people is how you're showing up at the end of the day.
And oh, yeah.
If you want that reflection to change, you need to change first.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I've had such a wonderful time chatting to you and chatting with you and getting to know you more. I will make sure now your book, the link to that will be in the show notes below. So anyone who resonates with this message can go and access that, and they'll also have your website and social media links as well. So that will all be there. Thank you so much, Kakua.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the energy that you put into sharing messages like this, because it's revolutionary for women. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Relationship Talks. If you can, I would love for you to jump on and leave a review. And whilst you are at it, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please join me again next week when we get to take a look behind closed doors at someone else's relationship. But until then, I am your host, Laurie Brooke, and remember, the choice is yours, so make today and the week the very best it can be.